Today on Real Radio.
There's an estimated, I don't know who figures out these numbers, but there's an estimated 2.7 billion Christians in the world today. I seriously doubt that. But if that number were true, wouldn't the world be a much different place? Huh? Did you know that over 80% of Americans claim to be Christians? Do you believe that? I do not believe that. I probably get in trouble with you, but I believe 10%, possibly 10% of Americans are Christians, real ones. Because what Jesus is teaching is true.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Scripture is rife with prophecies of those who would say that they are believers when in fact they're not. Sometimes these individuals are deceivers, sometimes they're deceived themselves. Well, our teacher's presentation is taken from one of these difficult passages, the words of Messiah himself in Luke 13 and verses 18 through 30. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called A Mega Warning.
Jesus is not discouraging church growth. Church, don't think of that. He's warning us that growth can cause problems. Listen, a big church has big problems. You guys, when we were little, we knew everybody. When we were little in the house, in the living room of the house, or when we were in our old building, we were little. And listen, we knew everybody. We knew everybody by name. And when we saw somebody new or different or whatever, we'd go meet them. You couldn't hide in a small church. Okay? Just a couple of months after we moved into this building, we had a lady come here, and she said, "Oh, look, I fell. I hurt my leg. I need medical treatment." Well, listen, when that happens, we immediately called our insurance company. And you know what? Churches these days have to have malpractice insurance. Did you know that? And can you imagine the liability insurance that we have to have? Think about it. You say, "Oh, really? Well, maybe I'll slip too." I want to warn you, we have a gnarly insurance company. We turned that lady's complaint or her situation over to our insurance company, which is the nation's largest church protection agency, and they began to meet with her, question with her, and you know what they found out? That we were the fourth church that she tried to scam. She had robbed three previous churches in court, and thank God Almighty, our investigators, well, the insurance investigators found out that she was scamming us, and she got in big trouble. She wound up, yeah, well, amen to that, huh? And you say, why do you bring that up? Because when church grows big, big church, big problems. You want to know what our light bill is in the summer? Oh, come on, ask me. What's our power bill? Our power bill in the summer ranges anywhere from $18,000 to $21,000 a month. The power bill. Thank God for the winter months. Think about it. Say, I can't believe that. Brother, it's the way that it is. Amazing. How do things get done around here? God does them. How do things get paid around here? God does them. Listen, I have been the number one opponent to church growth right here in this place. All along the way, I've tried to talk people out of coming here. When somebody asked me, well, what do you do? And oh, you're a pastor. Where do you pastor? Oh, a church. Well, what church? Lisa goes, why don't you just tell them? Because you know what? I want God to bring people here. If God brings them here, it's safe, you know? If they want to come here for some other reasons, oh, Lord, please protect us. You say, how can you say that? You're so unloving. Because, listen, Jesus warned that when a church got big, not everybody in it's of the church. Not everybody is coming for the same reason you've come here. It's amazing. You say, well, Pastor, that's why I go to a little church and that's not growing or doing anything. That's not good either. Now watch, I'm going somewhere with this. You say, well, okay, all right. Well, then that's why I go to a real big church, so I can hide in there and nobody will ask me to do anything and I don't feel like I have to get involved. That's not good either. You say, well, which one is it? Pick it, will you? Big church, small church. Here's the answer. Are you ready? You got to go to a church that's growing while preaching the pure, unchangeable word of God. Amen. Listen, big difference. Go to a church that's growing because it's preaching the word of God, unadulterated, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, the whole counsel of God. Very important. Why? Because as it grows, listen, as it grows, it's going to be under attack. Just because a church is small doesn't mean it's under attack. Okay, it can be under attack. Just because a church is big doesn't mean it's not going to be attacked. It's going to be attacked. But if you want to be a church that's approving of God, then you want to have the word of God going out without apology. And here's the growth. God will send people to that work. It will grow. But all the while, there's going to be troubles. Have you ever been to a perfect church? Well, I think so. No, because the day you walked in there, it became unperfect. I mean, think about it. Well, the last church I came from was all messed up. Listen, watch out. This is the truth. Where God is moving, Satan's going to attack. And he uses people. Isn't that offensive? I came this early to be offended like that? No, listen, this is very serious because we will really grow strong if we pay close attention to what Jesus is telling us here. And so the right place to be is a church that's growing and true to the word. It's where God's people are coming together and growing and hearing his voice. It's a church that's growing with good numbers, but it's also a church that recognizes that Satan in the Bible is known to sow seeds among the good. This is the life of the kingdom of God or in the church. Constant growth, that's good. Christians becoming real, that's great. And servants serving God. In each of those areas, there can be counterfeits and there can be disruptions. And it's going to be like that. Let's take a reality pill. It's going to be like that in every work of God everywhere in the world. Can you handle that? That's why we need to be on our toes spiritually. And I wrote a few things down that are dear to me. You may not think so, but it's important to me. That's why churches in this day and age, like never before, need real, ordained, called, spirit-filled, knowledgeable in the Word of God pastors. Not pastors who want to play golf all week long or go to the potlucks or picnics and shirk their study time and their prayer time and their fasting time, seeking God. Now listen, pastors are the ones God calls to protect the church. You say, well, I got a problem because I don't like pastors. I don't like pastors either. You get together with a bunch of pastors. All they want to talk about is the size of their church, as though that's a mark of success. It is not. What's a mark of success is, are you preaching the clear, unadulterated word of God, and is your church growing? Are you with me? Do you hear that? Because God's people will hear the word of God and flock to the word of God. But as a pastor, and as pastors in this day and age, we need to be, and by the way, the word pastor means shepherd, tender, or feeder. A pastor's to feed or tend or shepherd the flock. That means that God's pastors are their cooks. We cook up the word of God and serve it for you. We're nurses. We comfort you when you need comforting. We're coaches. We're to be coaches. We're to be doctors. Tell you where there's a sickness. Tell you where there's a disease in the life. A trainer. We're to be friends. And listen, we are to be foes. What do you mean foes? We are to tell you when things are wrong. We are to hound you. We are to come after you. In all, of course, in love. But we're to come after you and say, where you've been? Where have you been? How are you growing? Well, we don't go to the church anymore. Okay, fine. And this is my pat. If you know me, this is my pat response. Where are you going? Do they teach the word of God? Yes, they do. Praise the Lord. That's all I care about. You understand that? You say, Pastor, are you just saying that? Do you really believe? I believe it. You want to know why? I can hardly take care of my own family. How can I take care of the church? I'm always crying out to God, God, they're your people. You died for them. I do the Moses thing. God, they're your people. You died for them. You talk to them. You show them. I think that's a safe thing. Moses, smart guy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly. That means get out there and pastor those people. I don't want to. Go pastor them. No. Not by compulsion. You got to want to. Not desirous for money, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but by being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, when the chief shepherd, Jesus, appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. See, Pastor Jack, what's your future look like? It looks great if I stay true to the Bible and love you. That's all I'm supposed to do, stay true to the Bible and love you. When the chief shepherd arrives, it'd be good with me. Okay, you ready for this? These are three verses that are usually shunned by people and by pastors because they're rarely understood. Are you ready? Write them down. You're going to want to mark them down. They're going to drive you crazy. They're all found in Hebrews chapter 13. The first one is in verse 7. There the Bible says, remember, the word in Greek is think of them often, remind yourself of them. Remember those who rule over you. The word means to rule over is to have or been given a command over you. Who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow or be like them, considering the outcome of their conduct. What does the Bible say, Hebrews 13, 7? Remember those who teach the word of God to you and have been given the command of God to rule over you. You say, I don't like that kind of talk. Hang on, I told you these verses are not liked. But hang on. The word rule over is to have that those have been given a command, like a military command from Christ. Now look, if a pastor believes that, if a pastor knows the Bible and believes that, then he's going to conduct himself like that, knowing that he's going to answer to the chief shepherd who's given him a command to love on the chief shepherd's people. No pastor can say, well, my people, oh, brother, not your people. Well, you know, my ministry. Excuse me? Whose ministry? Oh, you know, at my church. Is it your church or is it his church? Big difference. If you understand that, when the scripture says you've been given a command, pastor, to rule over the people, if a pastor walks up and says, hey, wash my car, mow the church lawn, get out of there. If there's a pastor, listen, pastor is to be among the people, loving the people, right? Not hiding in a box. Not untouchable. Shepherds are usually, found among sheep. You don't see a flock of sheep all by themselves looking around. Can you imagine? They're all, what do we do? You know, sheep need constant care. That's why God likens us as sheep, and he's the chief shepherd. I've told you before, I've said it 1,000 times, and you guys have sent me your emails addressing it this way. I call myself not a shepherd. I know technically I can from the Bible. That's terrifying. He's the chief shepherd, and I'm an under-shepherd. I understand that. I don't even like that part, though. I like the fact that God has called me to be a sheepdog because he's the chief shepherd. Have you ever seen a sheepdog? They're running around, tongue hanging out, making sure the sheep are okay. When a wolf comes in, that sheepdog takes off after that wolf, taking care of the flock. I love that. Hebrews 13, 17 goes on to say this. Obey those who rule over you. Oh, pastor, I don't like this. And be submissive to them. I hate this verse now, you see. Well, hang on. For they watch out for your souls. Let me tell you something. If you have a pastor who loves you enough to watch out for your soul by giving you the word of God, you're going to want to be submissive to them. The word submissive means to yield to their input. How wrong could that be? This is the cool part. If I give you input into your life, if you come to me and say, hey, you know what, blah, 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 and I say, well, this is what the Bible says. That's what I'm supposed to do. If I say, well, you know what, that happened to me back in 49, and I think you ought to do this. Who needs that? A shepherd who loves you or a sheepdog who loves you is going to give you the word of God because it has the power. This is all important regarding what Jesus is saying about church growth. Will a church grow? Yes, but not all growth is good. It depends on what's going on in that church. It's very important. Hebrews 13:24. Boy, by the pace I'm going, we'll never get through this Bible study today. I can tell you that right now. Hebrews 13:24 says, greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. They do not only rule over you, they have an influence over the saints. What are you supposed to do? Listen, church, greet them. You're supposed to remember them, verse 7, obey them, verse 17, and verse 24, greet them, salute them. The word is salute. I don't want you to salute me, but greet me. I love that. You guys, I'll be really honest with you. And I'm not thinking about anybody specifically. I don't have anybody in my mind. But there are people, like when I'm in the foyer or anywhere in the courtyard, wherever, and they see there's the pastor. And they're like this. I'll look at them. If you know me, I mean, I'll look at you. I'll look at you. Okay? I'm waiting for the opportunity. Hey, hey. And you'll see this. There's the pastor. What is that? Now, look, people do that because they've been hurt by pastors. How do I know? Because they've told me. You know what? I love this church. I love what's going on. I love you, Pastor Jack, because I don't know you. Yeah. I don't want to get to know you. Because the last church I came from, I knew the pastor or ministers, and I don't want to know you because I love what's going on here. Isn't that sad? That's very sad, you guys. Shouldn't be that way. Rather than building up a wall, we ought to take it to the Word of God, let Him heal our hearts from all the pain that's come against us, and continue to love one another. Very, very important. When God's hand is on a pastor, God is going to do things. The church will grow, but it will grow deep in the Word of God. And that's a wonderful thing. And so the truth is, what we're being warned about is numbers can be deceiving. Jesus says, watch out, because the church is going to eventually grow into a big freak. Like a mustard seed grows into a great tree, that doesn't happen. Jesus is warning. And those of that age and of that culture understood it perfectly well. By the way, there's an estimated, I don't know who figures out these numbers, but there's an estimated 2.7 billion Christians in the world today. I seriously doubt that. But if that number were true, wouldn't the world be a much different place? Huh? Did you know that over 80% of Americans claim to be Christians? Do you believe that? I do not believe that. I probably get in trouble with you, but I believe 10%, possibly 10% of Americans are Christians, real ones. Because what Jesus is teaching is true. Growth, big claims, big numbers, just reduce that down and you'll find the reality. So, Pastor, what about this church? This is a large church. Did you know in America, any church over 2,000 people is considered a mega church? So we could be in trouble. The message is a mega warning. Yeah. And it goes to this church first, right? Not everybody who comes here is a Christian. Someone asked me last week, why don't we take communion on Sunday mornings? And I said to them, because not everybody here is a Christian on Sunday mornings. The probability is on Wednesdays, you get more of the true believers. There's visitors. There's people who don't want anything to do with God. They're here for other reasons. You say, you got to be kidding me. Wake up. It's true. You mean the guy next to me could be a non-Christian? Yes, that's why you need to greet them, love them, and say hi to them. But even then, and amongst a large group, all you need is one or two that are thinking evil. That's the way evil is. So numbers can be deceiving. Evil hides among good, wolves hide among sheep, and Satan knows the best way to infect the church is to get inside the church. Think of that. Paul the Apostle warned about this, and he gave a mega warning to the Ephesian believers in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Acts 20:29, Paul said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Church, can you handle that? Can you imagine? People Paul warned about will go to church to try to destroy the church. And he says they're going to come in and they're going to not spare the flock. And from among your own selves, that's within the church, men will rise up speaking perverse things. The word perverse means to misinterpret, misrepresent, or to distort. And to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember. He's speaking to a bunch of pastors. Watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you every night and day with tears. over this matter, Paul said. Thirdly, under this point, a mega warning about appearances is what some things look like can be ugly. Good growth, bad growth, and ugly growth. Verse 20 and 21. Again, he spoke to them and said, "What shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." The whole sentence structure of this, and again, put on your Jewish mind, leaven in Scripture is not good, and a woman generically is not good, usually in the context, not always. This woman, by stealth, sneaks in. Remember, the audience is Jewish. Remember what Jews think about leaven? Not good. She sneaks in, and does she announce to everybody that she put yeast or leaven in the bread? No. It says that she hid it in the bread. Why? To leaven the whole lump or the whole bunch of dough, you know? She's going to pollute it. Jesus is saying, watch out. The kingdom's going to grow into a big, massive thing. Birds are going to lodge in the branches of it. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you another parable, he says. It's like a woman who sneaks around and she puts yeast or leaven in a bunch of dough and ruins the whole thing. Now, ladies, you know this. I don't know this. I've only read about it. But I guess if you put yeast in dough, it causes the thing to ferment. And it may smell great, but it gets jumbo, gigantic. And the Jews are not into bread like that. They want unleavened or matzah. Why? Why is that important? Because 98 times in the Bible, you ought to write that down, 98 times in the Bible, leaven is mentioned, and always, always, without exception, it is a type or symbol of evil. Do you see now how Jesus speaks to the Jewish mind in this teaching? And they got it. Wow! The kingdom's going to grow and there's going to be evil stuffed inside of it? Yep. That's right. By the way, Exodus 12:15 tells us about leaven being evil and undesirable. And 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 tells us, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" What does that mean? You put a little bit of yeast and it'll ruin the whole thing. Leaven in a house today, if you think about it. Of course, Jesus is speaking spiritual things. Do you have any yeast in your house? That's not the point. He's talking about sin. Imagine having sin in your house. Having sin in your home.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Mega Warning. It's a study taken from a warning of the Messiah himself in Luke chapter 13 and verses 18 through 30. It's part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've all seen the stickers and decals and such that tell us never to forget 9/11, and that's certainly a very good and appropriate admonition. But here's a better one. Learn why 9/11 happened. And here's one way to do that. Outspoken author and native daughter to Lebanon, Brigitte Gabriel, was our featured speaker on 9/11 of this year here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Gabriel is the author of the books Because They Hate and They Must Be Stopped, and she's experienced the evils and terror of radical Islam firsthand. Well, we're making that televised speech by Brigitte Gabriel available on DVD for your contribution to the continuing outreach of Real Radio of any amount. You can visit realradioactive.org, and you'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org, or make a toll-free phone call at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.